We are looking at our subject, rediscovering the glory. Rediscovering the glory. So far, we have seen in the Word some precious things that have to do with our position, our place as men and women of God in God's plan. Amen? We are reflecting His glory back to Him in the earth realm. We're getting a vision of that. Amen? Because we are reflecting back to Him what He views as His divine, majestic rule. Amen. That's what Adam lost. That's what Adam lost when he sold things out to Satan in the garden. Adam was God, little case g, smaller case g, in the earth realm, but yet powerful. Amen. He was more powerful than any other being on the planet. And God willed it so. That's God's plan, you know. And that plan hasn't changed. That plan hasn't changed. Even now, man in his fallen state is accomplishing great feats. Atheists are finding cures to diseases. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are scientists that are trying to disprove that God exists, and they're finding great things that can benefit mankind. You know, it's amazing. You know, you just cannot get away from the glory and the splendor of man, what God has created. He said was created in His likeness and after His image. Amen. But we as believers are commissioned by God to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And if we're renewed in the spirit of our mind, the only thing that we can be renewed back to is what God formerly did. Amen. To have revival means to go back to what God actually began. That's why the church needs to be revived. The church has got to be revived because the church needs to get back to what God originally intended. And that was reflecting the divine majesty in rulership on this planet. He has given us dominion. And we have to get a vision for that again. Amen. Now, we talked about how that the scripture actually says, who is first, who has been God's counselor, or who is first given unto Him, and how can it be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, that's of God, and through Him, that's God, and to Him, that's God, and all are all things. And to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's Romans 11, chapter 34. I mean, Romans chapter 11, verse 34 through 36. We fail to recognize that God sought out what Adam had to say about what he was doing. I mean, God came and spoke with Adam on a continual basis. Right? He came and spoke to him on a continual basis. It wasn't just one or two times. And what was God doing? God was giving man, you know, some leverage, giving him some room to move and to do things. And He expected him to do it as He would do it if he was here. Right? That's why. See, where do you think Jesus' great commission came from? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Right? Where do you think that came from? That came from God's original intention when He spoke to Adam. Bless the earth, replenish it, bring it back to its pristine beauty. Take what's here in Eden and spread it throughout the whole planet. Right? That's the same thing. Jesus is not doing anything different. The Bible simply says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new done right under the sun. Jesus was just reiterating, this is what God began, and this is what you as a church now, as a body of believers, are commissioned to do. Take this gospel and its creative force and make right everything that's been made wrong. Go and do it. Amen. The devil made somebody sick, heal them. He killed somebody, raised them from the dead. He took their sight, give them new sight. He'll even do a creative miracle through you. If you believe that he's able, he'll give you new eardrums. He'll give you a kidney that's been taken out or a bladder that's been replaced. I mean, he'll just create a new one. If you believe, if you understand what you're doing, I think the reason why we don't see a lot of creative miracles, and for one reason, is we can't explain them. Why? Why would God give it? What's his purpose in it? We don't really have a good vision of the big picture of what God really wants to do. We think God is limited to doing everything that he wants to do within the realm of church. So you dress up, put your smelly powder on and everything for church, barely wash your face to go to work. Amen. Because you're expecting God to do something in church, so you're looking all fine, dressed up. Praise God. Won't even iron your trousers to go to church. I mean, to go to work. Amen. Amen. God wants to do what you expect him to do here, out there in the workplace, in the community, in the highways and the hedges. Amen. That's where we're to go and bring the blessing and replenish things. That's where the excitement is. Amen. We should be coming in here just to testify of what God has done out there. Isn't that right? Amen. It wouldn't be a whole lot of room for me to teach or to preach if we were all be about the business that God has sent us to do, because there'd be so much excitement in the testimonies about what God is doing. Amen. Hallelujah. So get a vision of that. Well, under now, again, we've been unable to give back to God counsel in regard to what he's come to inquire into our lives about. Amen. You know, we're so far from understanding it until, you know, we don't have the vision that Adam had. Adam expected God to come and visit him. And Adam knew that he needed to have a plan. He needed to have something with which to correspond to God and to tell him about his progress and what he was doing. This is a big planet. And God was coming to see, what's your plans, Adam? What are you going to do? I've given you all this glory, all this power, all of this might. Now, what's your plan? I mean, you know, we think he just came to check up on him because he was just a little old man fumbling around down here. You got to make sure, you know, you got to watch him. You got to watch him. You got to make sure they're doing right. That's the way we preach a lot of times. We preach about sin, you know, and we preach about man's inability. Amen. And we're just climbing up after all the rough side of the mountain. Amen. I ain't so wide you can't get around it. Jesus came and he just burst that bubble. He said, if you just have faith at the size of a mustard, you can speak to that mountain and command it to be plucked up and to be removed. Amen. Yeah, there's mountains in our way. There's obstacles. You know, we're facing obstacles. This church would not be as it is today if it wasn't for obstacles. The devil places obstacles in the place in front of people that God has ordained to participate and be a part of what he's called us to do. And because we have such we just don't have vision about what God really wants to do, so those obstacles look bigger than God's commission. They look bigger. They look like mountains, and they seem unsurmountable and immovable. You know, how can we possibly ever get through this and get around this? Somebody please pray for us, right? And then we want to go to the greatest conference of the year. I started to say something, but I don't want to put a bad light on anybody's conference because I like conferences. You know, I like to have my faith challenged. I'm looking to operate on a higher plane, so sometimes you got to go and you have to get in the presence of someone who's operating in this revelation so that you can be challenged and get to a higher plane. Can't rely on everything that you see. Amen. So, but you know, we have this idea that our answer is always out there. It's from somebody else, a greater minister or something like that. When Christ in you, the hope of glory is greater than he that's in the world. Right? The God that created you lives in you. And he knows exactly what he has ordained and created you and I for. Right? And he sent the Holy Spirit to make that real to you. But you know what? According to Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is it. If your heart and your mind is just always on you in regards to your needs, you know, then what have you given the Holy Spirit by way of mandate to talk to you about? See? He's got to satisfy what you're most interested in. Amen. If he can just satisfy you in that, then you can move on to something else. But some believers never really get satisfied in the revelation that Jehovah Jireh is the Lord who sees and provides. And that means eternally. That means always. That's not just this weekend, this payday. Amen. But eternally. And once I get that revelation, I know that I'm secure, that I'll never lack or want anything, but I'm trusting in a God who gives me richly all things to possess. And hallelujah. When I can get that revelation and know that, then I'm not going to be going to God about my needs. I'm going to fulfill Matthew then 6:33. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. Listen. To get to the level where you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you think that you struggle right now with some financial areas in your life. To get to the level where you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, do you realize that you're going to be in a place where you're going to have to believe God for millions, if not billions of dollars? Come on. I mean, that's... To do God's work, it requires that. See? So the believers that only live on the level of their personal need, my God, you're like chickens in a chicken coop and it doesn't smell good in there. See? And your head is always, the beak is always in the dirt. He's called us to be like eagles, mounting up like eagles. Soaring to higher heights with revision and revelation of who we are, what we have, and what we're called to do. Amen. Amen. So, under now, we've been able to give back to God the very revelations, you know, of who we are. But he has made it possible for us to be his counselor in regard to the progress we make in this life, for good or bad. Amen. That's where he's brought us to. Give him back counsel. God, look at it like this. God takes pleasure in your productivity. He takes pleasure in your productivity in the things of God. See, we've been talking about how that we need to pray about our particular spiritual endowments and how that we need to bring them to a place where they're maximized, because then God gets more glory, right? He's praised, he gets more glory. That's our function in the earth, right? That's where we are. Now, So we're talking about rediscovering this glory. Hallelujah. That's where we are right now. We're talking about rediscovering this glory. Every one of us, according to 1 Peter 4:10, says, as each of you has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it. That means put it to work. Give it some work to do. Don't you like the language of the Bible? Employ it, right? For one another as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace, faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by God's unmerited favor. We are to employ that. So you need to be in prayer about your particular endowment of spiritual gifts. Right? You need to be in prayer about that. Right? You need to recognize what they are. And you need to be hungry for God to release you in the use of them. Amen. Amen. Now, church, the wonderful thing about church is that we all get to come here and practice. That's all this is. We get to come here and practice through obedience as we are prompted by the Holy Spirit. Hopefully, you know, even those that listen to this on our internet broadcast are in situations and churches where they have freedom to operate in the Spirit as the Lord leads. Why? Because we are learning to exercise our spiritual gifts so that we can take it to the marketplace, so that we can take it to the highways and hedges. That's what it's all about. It isn't so that we can shine in church. But this is a place for you to be encouraged in the use of those things. Amen? Now, church is designed primarily to bring satisfaction to believers. That's the way it's been designed and it's conformed to that. Now, that doesn't mean that God intended for it to be that way, but it has transformed into that. And so a lot of folk have the feeling and understanding that we have to create an environment for miracles. I hear people teaching that, you know, on international broadcast, that we need to be in an environment. That's why we have the praise and worship we have, you know, and all that stuff, you know, is to create an environment where God can come in and work. Well, God came in and created the earth when it was void and without form. What kind of praise was going up then? I mean, who was clapping their hands and stomping their feet? This place was a mess. Amen? See? No. See, if you have the impression that God can only work when we have a certain environment set, then you're missing God. You're missing God. Here comes the widow of Nain, funeral procession, boy dead. Do you know how to spell dead? D-E-A-D, dead. Everybody is in agreement in that funeral procession. This boy is dead, we're going to bury him. Mourning, weeping, as are black folks good at it, and so are Middle East people. When it comes down to moping and moaning and weeping over something like that. We got it down. So here they go. And Jesus is moved with compassion. And he's realized that God wants him to do something about it. Has the audacity to get in front of the funeral procession and stop it. Now, I like to see you go out here on the highway when there's a funeral procession. Pull your car across the highway so that they cannot get past you and just stop them. Make your way down to the hearse. Tell them to open that hearse. Pull out that casket. Amen? Open the casket. And lay your hands on the cheek of that dead person and say, arise, for your light has come. Now that's what Jesus did. Right? And there was no environment conducive to miracles except in his spirit. in his spirit, in his being, he had his own praise band, his own choruses. He had every bit of music he needed. Hallelujah. It was all in him. That's where it was. Praise God. Now, I thank God for church. I like to sing. I like the music. I like the dance. I like the clapping of hands. I like everybody in harmony. And that's all good. But I don't need that to do the will of God.
Amen.
I don't need it. I don't have to have, all of that stuff. I remember one time, controversial figure, his mannerism and everything. Evangelist Ernest Angley came to Greenville. Oh, it must have been 15, 20 years ago, maybe more than that. It was every bit of 20 years ago. Came by himself to do a crusade in our Memorial Auditorium. That's like the Bilo Center or whatever they call it now. One man. He didn't bring anybody with him. He drove over here to do a crusade and got out there and did the song service by himself with no music or anything. And just started operating in the gifts, walking down the aisles, touching people. I saw him coming down my aisle. I didn't need anything. I just kind of got over there. When his coattail came by, I just made sure I got it. I sure did. I was just going to brush his coattail, It didn't matter. I didn't have any needs. I was fine. But glory to God, whatever's on you, get on me. He had everything in him operating. He is a testimony of the grace and the equipping of God helping him and keeping him all of these years. I don't know, man, must be in his 90s. I don't know, but he's up there. You can just look at him and tell the Spirit of God is just keeping you alive, man. That's what he looks like. He looks like a man who is dead to himself but alive in God. I don't know why I'm testifying to him today, but nevertheless, it's true. See? And so what we need to do in the body of Christ is to rediscover what God has originally intended for us. Turn with me to, praise God, Hebrews chapter 2. We've talked about how that this work of God in us is wrought by the Holy Spirit. Amen. But we are enabled through Christ. We are enabled through Christ. See, when Jesus rose up from the dead, the interesting thing is that we got everything that he got when he came up. Right? He, on purpose, took to himself everything that we already had as he went down. But when he came up, he made everything that he won and everything that he bought for us available. That's what he did. So this is an enablement now that comes to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2. And let's look at verse 5. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. For it was not to angels that God subjected the habitable world of the future. Now just stop there for just a moment. It was not to angels that God subjected the habitable world of the future. So what was God looking for? God was thinking about the world of the future. Wasn't he thinking about that when he looked at the earth when it was void? Right? Without form? He's thinking about what he wants in the future. Right? See? All right. So now, that's what he's bringing us to realize. God has something for this planet in the future. In the beginning, he said, and the Bible said Jesus created this stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right? Now, similarly, with the birth of the church, God is just reiterating what he's already said and done. Right? He's thinking about the world. He surely isn't pleased with the world that we have now. Right? Because the prince of the power of the air, being Satan, is still in control of a lot of territory that believers have not gone and taken possession of.
Amen.
Right? Listen, more than our armament, more than all of the powers of our fighter jet planes and everything that we have, it's the spirit of Christianity. It's the Holy Spirit that has kept America from being completely annihilated. Even with all of our faults, Brother Curtis, even with all of our faults, all of our you know, the things that we fail God in, there's a few people in America that are born again that God can look at like he did when Abraham was trying to say to him, you mean you're going to destroy this land, you know? And Abraham just kept counting, and if I'd been Abraham, I hope I would have had enough sense to go all the way down to one. Instead of stopping off at 10, you know? But that's really what God was looking for. God is looking for someone that will try to extinguish his mercy. Just try to get to the end of it. Just try to get to the end of his mercy. Just try and see how far you get. Try to get to the end of it. See if there's a bottom to his grace. Look, see if you can find it. And so, I mean, God has been merciful to us because even if there's a handful of believers here that have some revelation into what he desires to do, he's willing to spare. He's willing to go beyond what we deserve. Amen. But now, see, if you've got revelation in that and I've got revelation in that, then we're candidates for God to take us and put us in a dark, dry, parched land where there is no gospel. Amen. So the church's function really is to empty itself. We like to think of it as grow, grow, grow. And we're embarrassed when there's empty seats. But the church's real function is to empty itself. Not because of a falling out or divisory type things, but because people are getting a vision and they're going to bring replenishment. Hallelujah. And blessing somewhere in the world. How much more teaching? How much more ministry do we need? Right? How much more? It was not to angels that God subjected the habitable world of the future of which we are speaking. It has been solemnly and earnestly said in a certain place, what is man? Well, see, the reason why that question came up is because angels in their power seemingly could do far more and greater things. One angel slew a whole army of folk, thousands upon thousands of enemies of Israel. One angel. And he didn't have to do it with a whole lot of fanfare. They just woke up dead. They just all woke up the next morning dead. And the ones that were alive just got up and got out of there. Amen? All right. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you are graciously and helpfully care for and visit and look after him? Yeah, that's only because if this question was asked of a man about mankind in comparison to the angelic powers and abilities of the spiritual forces of heaven and like angels, you know, then you can understand what's happening here. But we're making a comparison, aren't we, to ourselves without revelation. We're making a comparison of ourselves to the angelic host without revelation. See, Paul, God bless him. That's one of the people I want to see when I go to heaven. It's the apostle. I want to see him. I want to talk to him. Because he was able to receive revelation and realize, see, that we as God's people, you know, have that angelic host as our servants. And listen, their opinion of us don't mean nothing. They are still there, commissioned by God as our servants. We get these wrong ideas about why we never see an angel, why we never do anything for God, because we're comparing ourselves without revelation to the angelic host. The angels are not created in the image of God. They're not. I don't care what power they have and what they can do. They're not created in the image of God. We are. You are. I am. And so we need to get that vision and let it rest in us, settle down in us, and realize the angel's not going to fuss with you about what you tell it to do.
No.
It's not going to argue with you about what you've been commissioned to do. It's waiting for you to get your clothes on. Put on your hat. Put on your suit. Put on your shoes. I'm talking about get equipped and get out there and begin to do what God's told you to do. So far, the angel hadn't been able to do anything but protect you on the highway. Going to work. That's all he's been able to do, just protect you on the highway. I'm serious. I mean, you know, it's just like, I'll just protect him until they wake up and realize who they are. Man, they don't have a whole lot to do. They don't. We're not giving them anything to do. Well, we have so much to come against us in our own thinking because of preaching and teaching in the realm of the church. Because preaching and teaching in the realm of the church has been on such a low level that, you know, we're staying in areas that doesn't allow the believer to break out and begin to grow up in the knowledge of God and really be conformed to Christ's image. See, you and I ought to be conformed to Christ's image. And if I'm conformed to Christ's image, man, I'm doing the same thing Christ did. And as he said, I'm going to do greater works than he did. I don't need to be conformed to Christ's image just to get in my car and go down and clock in on a job. I don't have to be conformed to his image to do that. Right? What you need to do is obey God to the point that they fire you. Then you can be blessed. You just need to obey God till you get fired. Oh, now that messes with somebody. They don't want to hear that. And see, again, because you haven't been prepared, you're thinking in terms of, I can't lose my job, man. I got a mortgage, man. I got this man. I got that man. I got that man. Right? That's the way we're thinking. See? But if you obey God like this, in this, the way God wants you to, your mortgage is done. It's paid for. It's all taken care of. I don't care what needs you have. That's done, man. It doesn't have any power over you. It's done. Look at verse 7. For some little time you have ranked him lower and inferior to the angels. You have crowned him with glory. We're talking about rediscovering the glory and the honor that God has set on us. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. Now, I know that's italicized there in my Bible, which means that it was added by the translators, but they got it right. Now, there are some things that you can question that they do like do that in, but they've got this right. Somebody knew what they were looking at and doing in this. They had some revelation, right? For some little time, you have ranked him a little lower and inferior to angels. For some little time, it's been almost 6,000 years, but for some little time, amen, with God, just some little time, just a little while. Oh, God, if I had been living for 6,000 years, and just realizing what God would have me to do. I'd be one sad soul. 6,000 years. So he just keeps allowing people to be born generation after generation, all the way up to nearly 6,000 years or so. Right? And there is progress being made in the body of Christ. There is progress being made. You see, it would be impossible for me to talk about this if there was not any progress being made. Right? That revelation is coming because the kingdom of God is coming. And there are individuals in the earth realm, in the body of Christ, that is seeing some things and realizing some truths. Right? And that's why there's great pressure. Right? So you feel the pressure about your life, about your family. You see your kids just going crazy. All kinds of stuff. You see all that happening because of the pressure from above and the pressure from beneath. Your responsibility is to give in to the pressure. You give in to the pressure. You give in to the pressure, just be overwhelmed by God. Let him have his way. Right? Just give in to the pressure. Just say, I give up. I can't win in this. No need me fighting God's hand. I can't win. I just give in. Praise God. And then just accept what he brings to you. Because that's where the real blessing is. That's where the abundance is, the blessing, the provision. Hallelujah. That's where it is. Now, he said, for you have put everything in subjection under his feet. How much is everything? My Lord, 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 Lord. Everything has been put in subjection under my feet. You know, that's why God raises up some unknown people and supernaturally uses them to go into foreign lands and prophesy to kings and princes and all that kind of stuff like that, you know. God's able to do that, see. I mean, God spoke about Josiah before he was born and said what he was going to do and what his name was. Amen. And the boy was about 8 years old when he took the kingdom. That's right. Isn't that amazing? See, right now, God would love to be able to speak to someone in Ethiopia or in Turkey or Iran or Iraq and tell them that he's sending you to them with a word. Right? And then just take you, you know, systematically, you know, the way that God does things, just take you step by step and just present you to that individual in that kingdom. You give that word. There has actually been leaders of countries that have contacted men and women of faith and asked them to come and preach to their whole nation. It doesn't get in the news because they don't want that kind of stuff in the news. CNN don't want you to know that. And they're not want to talk about the progress that and the power of Christianity. They don't want to talk about it. They see that it's powerful. And they're afraid of it. See, and that's why this whole system agrees with the persecution of Jews and Christians. See? For you have put everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to man, he left nothing outside of man's control. Lord have mercy. Left nothing outside of man's control. That's why unbelieving men, atheist men, can find answers. They can't even give God the glory for finding an answer for some type of drug that will help bring a cure to a particular disease. They can't even give God the praise for it. They can't do it because they're unbelievers. But God has given them that leverage, that flexibility to do that if they seek it out. I mean, you know, at the Tower of Babel, they agreed upon what they were going to do. And God saw the power of their agreement and said, we got to do something about this. It was mere men. But this is God looking at what mere men can do. They were still created in his image. And they were going to build them a city that reached into the heavens. And you know, God had already promised that he wasn't going to bring a flood to destroy mankind again. But they just hadn't received that revelation. They had a fear of God and a defiance at the same time. They had a fear of God and a defiance toward God and a determination to be a people to live without God. Those people knew exactly what they were doing, and that's why God had to come down and do something about it. And he came down, and he said, they have agreed upon this thing, and nothing will be without their power to accomplish and do if they continue to live like this. That's exactly what he was saying. And so they would have established a satanic kingdom on the planet. They would have established a satanic kingdom on the planet. And it would have affected everything that God originally intended to do. And that's why he had to address it. He was looking at the big picture, the world to come. It wasn't just being mad at that group of people, angry, vindictive God, you know. He's looking at, they would have made it impossible for you and I to be renewed, to be born again. So he came and he just made them all, he confused them all so that they couldn't go through with their plans, right? Praise the Lord. But you see the power that of man, look what God has given to us. See, equally the evil man can do some things because he's created in God's image. He just determined that he's going to be evil, but he's still capable of doing some things. Amen. We're benefited today by some things that some unbelievers have done. Come on. And don't you have an Android? Uh-huh. Well, now he said, you put everything in subjection under his feet, everything. Now in putting everything in subjection to man, you have to realize that. Now you got to see everything has been put in subjection to you. To you. Everything has been put into subjection to you and I. You determine, you know, where your finances are going.
Amen.
You determine how healthy a body you're going to have. You determine what kind of life you want to live. He's put everything in subjection to you. There's no ship coming in for you. No train coming. It won't be in the mail. It originates in the Christ that's in you. That's where it all is. It's in Christ in you, the hope of glory. And out of him, through you, is how it happens. It's how it comes to pass. Doesn't come down from heaven. See? When the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above, he's talking about Jesus, the ultimate perfect gift. And now that perfect ultimate gift lives on the inside of every believer. Right? So you have the answer to every need in your life right now. Living inside you. You got to draw it out. Right? Like you're drawing water out of a well. You got to draw it out. It's in there. Amen. He left nothing outside of your controls. Tell your neighbor. Point your finger at your neighbor and say, he left nothing outside of your control. He left nothing outside of your control. See, look at the liberality of God when it comes down to mankind and what he desires that man come into. He's saying to us, just like he said to Adam, you're in control of this now. Now replenish it. Make it new. Make it beautiful. You do this. This is your responsibility. Amen. I will never, ever, I may have transitioned in my life, in ministry, but I will never, ever be a different person than who God's ordained for me to be. And I'll still and always bring glory to God in my life. No matter about the transitions. People say, are you still in the ministry? Do you still see me? Am I still here? Can you touch me? Jesus said, spirit don't have flesh and bone. Can you touch me? Do you have anything in the house to eat? You know? I'd go through the same thing, you know. I'll always be a person ordained of God and willing to bring glory to God in my actions and my lifestyle. See? That keeps going. That keeps going. Sometimes we limit ourselves by putting ourselves in a position and thinking that we're always going to do that. We should be growing in our experience. Do that as well as something else. Keep moving. Amen. Now he says, I have to go back and do this so I can go to the next verse here before we run out of time. But it says, for you have put everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to man, he left nothing outside of man's control. But at present, we do not see all things subjected to him. Now, who is it that's saying at present we do not see all things subjected to him? And with what kind of vision is this perception? What allows this kind of perception? We don't see all things subjected to him. But that's the authority that you gave him. That's a believer saying, making that statement. That's a believer making that statement with the revelation that we are supposed to ultimately be in control of the planet 100%. That's the perception that this believer has that's asking or making the statement, yet we don't see all things subjected to him. Not yet. See, he's got that revelation. Keep reading. But we are able to see Jesus. Amen. Now, but how do you see Jesus? Right. Now, if you're not really seeing this, you know, the way we're presenting it here, you see Jesus as, well, he's going to come back one day. He's going to get us out of this mess. I can't wait for the rapture. Rapture now, Lord. Right? We see Jesus as the Lord who delivers us from our struggling life. Struggle, struggle, struggle. And we'll understand it better by and by. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And start singing, Beulah Land. I'm longing for you. And when you get there, you're going to be dissatisfied because you ain't done squat for God. Because everything in heaven is going to say, and what did you do? What did you do with your life? How did you use the gifts and all the revelation? You had a hard copy of the word. You had Jesus within the pages of a book. What did you do? But you want to go to Beulah Land. Most of us don't qualify to die yet. You don't qualify to go and enjoy the blessings of heaven yet. Amen. And God's not going to let some folk die until they at least hear this. He's not going to let. See, that's the gospel of the kingdom. I mean, you know, we can preach salvation and that's fine because people need to get saved. But you preach salvation, you teach kingdom. Amen. You teach kingdom, see. Now, that makes people uncomfortable. See, they know where you're going when you're slobbering, sweating, and carrying on and singing. They know what you're going to say next because you always say the same thing. Praise the Lord. They know exactly where you're going, man. You ain't changed nothing. You know, I love all of God's people. I mean, I really do. I'm not judgmental toward any of God's people, but my God, I could not go to a church when they only use one scripture. My God. And just go on and on and on. And say, it's just like, have you ever noticed in some gospel recordings that they just put one phrase in the song and sing it over and over and over again? Have you noticed that? And they give them a Dove Award for it. I got content in my songs and they won't even record me. Content. revelation in them. Right? Because that don't sell. It don't sell. That's why. This is about the money. Jesus walking around with the word of life and he's persecuted. Persecuted. Why should it be any different for us? Right? But did that stop Jesus? Neither will it stop you. Saying we are able to see Jesus. How do you see him? Who was ranked lower than the angels for a little while. So you see, he was considered to be a common man for a little while, and then he walked in the office of his ministry around 30 years old. Then everybody gonna start fussing about him now. As long as you walking below the level of your capability and your responsibility and your supernatural ability, nobody's gonna pay you any attention. When you step over into the things of God and begin to manifest, now somebody's going to say something about you. Right? Somebody's going to warn people about you. You're going to become controversial because you're dealing with things. Isn't it interesting how somebody who don't know you can have an opinion about you? Isn't that interesting? You know why that's possible? Because principalities is talking to them about you and convince them of you. So when they see you, they already know you and they know what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to stay away from you because of principalities and power. You remember in the book of Revelation, it talks about the three frogs that came out and how that they were demons and how that they went from one continent to another dealing with kings and leaders and authority in the nations, because the devil has got to stir the nations in a certain direction if he's ever going to overcome Israel. Amen. Right? Well, that's just an example to show you that there are demonic forces that work in the world, walking out among people, and they like to mess with the minds of Christians especially. They like to mess with the minds of Christians, especially because if they can keep us divided, they can keep us from flowing in our power and our authority. See? Disjointed and divided. Right? See, that's how a house is brought down. It's how it's destroyed when it's divided. Right? And it happens from within. No outside power can destroy the church of the living God. It happens from within. We do it to ourselves. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You have to be mindful of that if you're going to make any difference in the world. Amen. See, I've got people wanting to have some time with me that haven't believed everything that I believe, but they're ministers. You know? I think our conversation is going to be surprising. I might be the only one that really eats the lunch. Amen. I'm serious. Because, you see, I'm not going to sugarcoat the truth. And, you know, you can tell the truth without being hateful. Yes. Tell that, man, this is another brother or sister in Christ, even though they may not be equipped with all of the truth. They may be caught up in denominationalism, even their ethnicity. But they are still created in the image of God, and they still need to know what God has ordained and called them to do so that they can begin. I would like to, man, if I hadn't heard most of this throughout all of my Christianity, if I died, I would have liked to at least been introduced to it so I could say, Lord, if it's possible, please work this out in my life. So when I stand before God, God will say, well, you heard it late, but your heart was right and you desired it, so you're blessed. That sounds like the man that went into the vineyard to work at the last hour of the day, but he still got the same blessing. But now if I don't have an opportunity to hear it, never have an opportunity to pray or to desire it, you know, then my God, somebody's going to have to figure out whether I am at fault for not making myself available for the truth. We see Jesus for a little while, a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory. Now, you see, he's crowned with glory even though he is considered to be in a place a little lower than the angels. He's still crowned with that glory and honor. because of his having suffered death now, in order that by grace and unmerited favor to God, to us sinners, he might experience death for every individual person. So that's where the glory and the honor that he was crowned with was taking him. But he was crowned with it. You understand what I'm saying? See, God had ordained that this come to pass. So eyes were on Jesus in the spirit realm. Oh, yeah. See? And so now he takes what he's crowned with and it carries him all the way through to fulfill what God has ordained for him to do. That's what we are becoming aware of. You have within you everything that you need to get you where you need to be to bring God glory on this level.
Amen.
To bring him glory on this level. All right? Verse 10. For it was an act worthy of God and fitting to the divine nature that he, for whose sake and by whom all things have their existence. You know, you almost have to be, I don't know how to really put this. Have you ever read writings of people from like the 18th and 19th century when they were using a lot of that King James language, and they said things almost, they put some things backward. But if you read it right, it takes you into the truth. That's what I'm saying. And the way this is written right here, it's designed to take you into the truth. You understand what I'm saying? See, we don't need to be hearers only, but doers of the word. Now, if I listen to the word, right, what does he say? With the same measure, you know, that you measure something, it's going to be measured back to you with the same meat and measure. So if I listen to this with my ears trained on God to get this, and I understand why I need to get it, then I'm being introduced into the truth. Right? Now, when I get introduced into the truth, then I'm empowered to do something. As long as I'm hearing about it, I can have an opinion. Amen? Come on. As long as I'm just hearing about it, I can have an opinion. But when I'm introduced into it, man, I'm almost in a natural sense doing it without thought. I'm just flowing in the glory and just doing what God would have me to do. I'm not even thinking about it, man. My person, what about me? Who's to be concerned? Why should I be concerned about how I'm received or how I'm rejected? Or what's said about me? Walk in that glory. Be who God's ordained you to be. Amen. Go into that restaurant, get your chicken and eat it. Amen. And at the same time, you will find the glory in your life rolling off on somebody or in a situation. I had someone to tell me the other day, we were going out to eat, and we just passed the table. And I saw a minister, and I didn't see him. I saw him and I didn't see him, you know, because my mind wasn't on seeing anybody. My mind was on getting on out and getting to the car. And my wife saw them, and she turned and she spoke to him. And I looked back to see who she was speaking to. And I thought, oh, my God, I didn't see you. So I go back and I speak to them. I talked to this particular minister's spouse, and they said that this person was in a place of disarray and wasn't sharing, just kind of closed in. Just my walking past them and coming back to speak to them opened them up, and they began to talk to everybody in that dinner setting with them after I left. Now, that wasn't me. That's what I'm abiding in. And see, you don't have to know everybody's need. All you need to do is just abide in the glory. God knows what need everybody has, and just you being there is his conduit, his ability to get their answer to them. You don't even have to know it in some situations. And that's not necessary. There's too much to be done for you to know about everything and how everything is being done. It's just too much out there. The needs are too deep, too complex, too many people. I mean, it is amazing. And that's why you got to walk in love. You have to obey the law of love. If you walk in love, then you need, God is able in a unique way to just flow through you, answer the need in somebody that you wouldn't give the time of day. Answer the need in somebody that you would disdain to be around. Answer the need of somebody that would just cause you to be in an upheaval. Answer the need in somebody that it just makes your flesh crawl knowing what they're involved in. But if you walk in love, for God so loved the world, you walk in that love. And you don't even have to have an opinion about it. Jesus, you just let that love of God just open the pathway for the glory of God to flow out of you. And before you know it, somebody who is in the deepest unspeakable sin is beginning to have thoughts come to them of change. And it happens. It happens. But we must operate in that love. We'll have to get back to this. We'll have to pick this up at verse 10 in our next session and begin there. And hopefully we'll go through verse 18 to finish what we need to say here. But we are rediscovering the glory and honor of God. Amen. Lord God, help us in our pursuit of this majestic place in you. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise, everybody.